Hey, hello. You're stuck in Travel the Wolf. Got a couple minute riff on IT and IC security back in Detroit. Today, looking at one more thing about the SHA-1 collision, right? Specifically around Git and subversion. So, I don't get Git, G-I-T. When I was managing repos, I would almost always screw it up. Now, I'm sure if you're out there and you're a developer, you're probably like, Wolf, you're just not doing right. And I'm thinking, you're probably right, because I'm not a developer, and also I don't know your arcane magic. And developers will text me back and say, it's very simple, you just need to sacrifice the goat twice a day, not just once a week. And I'm going to go, ah, that's where I screwed up. Not enough goats. I would always bork the repo. Always, always, always. So, tip for you, when thinking about subversion and Git, specifically to the SHA-1 collision, the shatter attacks, it's not as bad as you think, but it could lead to a very real denial of service. So here's what is. Repos like those use SHA-1 to hash the code that's been submitted or the file that's been submitted, right? And thereby show that it's unique and you can attest that that code was submitted to that repo, right? It's a non-repudiation and attestation thing. It's a way of demonstrating trust. It's also used in the repo as unique identifier. So those of you who've run databases, think of it as your primary unique key. Because the way these hashing algorithms are supposed to work is you're never supposed to have colliding keys, right? Not supposed to happen. Hash is supposed to generate new, demonstrably different hash values depending on content. Even a little change in content should have a massively big change in the hash value. Now, there was a lot of reported concerns about Git and subversion, because now with SHA-1 hashes, we're not going to be able to demonstrate the code is our code, and we're all relying on these things, and developers will not know what the code was submitted, and cats and dogs will live together. But people took a breath and looked at it, and of course, this people includes Linus Torvalds, who came out and had a good comment or two or three, or maybe ranted. What it is you gotta like embed a lot of characters, right? The way these attacks work is you keep adding stuff to the original source comment until you got enough stuff that you tricked the hashing algorithm to create an identical hash. That's why it's called a prefix attack, where you add it all in the beginning, because you're basically padding out the content so that you can have a collusion. Now, in a executable or compiled document like a PDF, that's doable. In a text file like source code, not so much. Hopefully, most developers will look at it and go, wait a minute, why is there, you know, a megabyte worth of ANSI garbage at the end of my source code? Maybe that's not the right one. So we can safely put aside for the moment the idea that this attack on SHA-1 is going to allow us to insert fake code. However, what we can't get away from is the fact that these SHA-1's IDs are used as unique identifiers, right? So we saw WebKit and Subversion had submitted two files, right? The shattered files. And what it basically did was it broke their Subversion repo. They had to completely wipe it out and redo it. Why? Maybe they didn't sacrifice goats. That would be my first guess. But the reality is that when you've got two values for a primary key that are identical, most software doesn't know how to handle that. So, even though it's not likely that we're going to see a bunch of fake code attached, we are at risk of denial of services in these code repos, like SHA-1, from the SHA-1 attack, like Git and SVN. So there you have it. What do you think? What other things are we going to see downstream from this? Hit me up in comments or on social media. Cheers.